If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I, as we do every Thursday, get into AEW and NXT week 10 of the Wednesday Night War, and it was a good one. We get into Cody Rhodes and his promo on MJF. What a story Cody Rhodes is saying right now and telling on AEW. Also, we have a very interesting phone call from a caller who just hates AEW. And you know what? His reasons are really interesting. We'll get into that. And speaking of interesting, we have a very interesting sit-down with King Mo. Again, the star of Bellator in the world of MMA, now a part of MLW. You're going to want to hear this on this edition of the Busted Open Podcast. Cody, talking about MJF. As we know, MJF, human filth, scumbag, piece of garbage, costing, you know, Cody. And now Cody having to make that comeback. And Cody on the microphone, man, you know, we talk about a lot of wrestlers right now who are starting to improve on the mic, Seth Rollins being one because he has a character that kind of fits him better and I think is really doing a lot better job with the microphone. Cody Rhodes is excellent every week on the mic. Is it just me or is Cody like really one of the best on the mic?
He's a storyteller. And if you're a storyteller, you're going to be awesome on the mic. Cody's not going in there and just saying a bunch of random stuff like certain wrestlers in AEW get in the ring and just do random moves that don't mean anything. Everything that he says on that microphone means something. And when you're a great storyteller on the microphone, a la his father, a la his brother.
Yep.
Think about all the great stuff that we got. What was it leading up to Double or Nothing
Dustin?
From Dustin?
Yes.
Listen, if you're a Rhodes, there's one thing that you know how to do in that ring. It's tell stories. And Cody did a phenomenal job last night. I have a favorite part of the soundbite that we just listened to, though.
What's that?
Did Cody bury MJF in that sound clip, in that promo?
I would say he buried him because he actually did a great job of saying he is the future.
Bam. Bingo. Circle gets the square. Johnny, tell him what he's won. Dinty Moore beef stew, the beef stew that has more sodium in it. Anyway, he's taking shots at MJF. He's basically calling MJF a piece of crap like you always do. But then he says, don't get me wrong, I think Max is the future. Right there, boom. That's the endorsement. That's the seal of approval. It's just enough for Cody to admit that as much as this guy is a prick, he's got the goods, and he's going to be around for a while. He's putting his guy over, because if you don't make somebody, you didn't beat anybody. And just by saying Max is the future, is Cody making MJF.
And you know what? This is sometimes with the problems that I have with promos on Raw and on SmackDown. Case in point was Sheamus' return to SmackDown this past Friday. He completely buried the show, buried the roster, took a shot at Shorty G. Why? The last thing you want to do is that. What you say if you're Sheamus is, I'm coming back on the best show because I'm the best. You put over the roster. You put over the show. It seems like there's a formula on Raw and SmackDown with some of the promos where they bury their opponent or they bury the roster and even sometimes bury the show. That's the last thing you want to do. Great point by you when it comes to MJF. Yes, there's truth, and you love truth in wrestling. MJF's a piece of garbage. He's human stain. But at the same time, he is the future of the business. He handpicked MJF for a reason, because he knows he's talented. Bingo, story being told. That's going to have you buy into the story. That's going to make you want to see the match. He's building that story, building up MJF at the same time. That's going to make you want to watch the match.
And the hand-picked line, excuse me, is a shoot. It's not like Tony Khan signed MJF and then Tony Khan went to Cody and go, hey, I got this great storyline where MJF is going to become your best friend. And then he's going to turn on you. Nobody wrote that. Cody saw the potential in MJF, took him under his wing, and Cody is the one that gave him the shot and handpicked him. And that's the reality of the storyline that makes it so great when it's played out in the ring. Because it's legitimate. It's real. And AEW is doing a much better job at real than any other company out there right now. I mean, when you look at Lana, Bobby, and Rusev, is that real? No. Is that something that goes on in real everyday life? Yes. When Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle, and Karen Angle did it, I liked it a lot better because it was real. Everything that's going on in AEW, whether it's, you know, Jericho and Cody taking the shots at each other, or Cody and Dustin's underlying tension growing up as brothers. There's so much realism to AEW that it sucks you in. And that's when wrestling is done the right way. A lot of stuff in ECW was very real. So that's why it's entertaining. That's why Cody is so good on the microphone, because it's almost like he doesn't have to cut a promo. It almost seems like he just goes out there and says what's on his mind. And when you go out there and just say what's on your mind, how does it come across? Real.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Let's go out to the Busted Open Nation. Let's go out to David in Atlanta. David, what did you want to say about NXT from last night?
That's how we doing.
What's up, David? How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. What's the thing you guys keep saying week after week, that when you turn on AEW, you just can't deny it has an advantage over NXT?
The crowd.
Guys, last night when I was watching NXT, there were so many moments that I was loving, and every time that the superstars would come out, when Rhea Ripley would come out, when Keith Lee would come out.
They're wrestlers. They're not superstars.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, I agree with you. When they
we're not talking about Raw and SmackDown. We're talking about NXT.
My apologies. You're
That's okay.
Right, sir.
That's okay, David.
But when they would come out for the first time in a while, I actually noticed I could hear every single beat and melody of their music because there was almost no crowd reaction in some spots. And there were moments in the matches that felt the same way. I really feel like the NXT crowd has had it so good for so long that if they could just go on the road once or twice a month to like if they came up here and did a house show in Atlanta, I would drive down to see, and I promise you, they would sell it out and the roof would blow off every time any of them would come out of the curtain.
David, it is an issue, and you're right. We talk about that moments feel better on AEW because of the crowd, and the crowd's hot, and NXT's at full sale. And David, thank you so much for the phone call.
Yes, sir.
Here's one thing that bothered me, and has nothing to do with the size of the crowd, but something that bothered me from NXT last night, and this happens a lot. And again, this is not LaGreca kissing the ass of AEW. I love both shows. But one thing that bothered me from that show last night is when Shayna Baszler and, you know, given the beatdown to Rhea Ripley. All right, it's 3-on-1, if you remember, Bully.
Okay.
So, and we've seen this before where, you know, the heel faction is beating down the babyface. And we got that last night with Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley. And the crowd is having dueling Rhea Ripley Shayna Baszler chants. Like, they're saying, let's go Rhea, let's go Shayna. Like, what is going on? First of all, A, it's not a match between Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. Rhea Ripley's getting beaten down by three people. But the other thing is that Rhea Ripley right now has had an amazing few weeks. She's clearly the babyface, and Shayna Baszler is the heel champion. Why at full sale are we getting let's go Rhea, let's go Shayna chants? Makes no sense to me.
Well, maybe there's some Shayna fans out there who want to chant let's go Shayna, or let's go with the real honest answer, Sometimes crowds are a little too smart for their own good, go into business for themselves, and try to make the show about them.
And I think that's the problem right now with the Full Sail crowd. I think if NXT, and I think NXT right now is big enough to go out on a road. Hell, they have it every time there's a takeover. They have a sold-out crowd or close to it. Now, I'm not saying, again, that you do 15, 20,000-seat arenas. You do maybe, 5,000-seat venues if you can. But I do think they need to move out of that Full Sail venue and that Full Sail crowd most notably, because I think that that crowd is just a little too smart for their own good.
Yeah, and listen, 500, 600 people can only sound so loud, so energetic, so passionate, and so boisterous every week. And this is where AEW wins every week. They have a brand new city, a brand new set of eyes, ears, people that are excited to see the show. Hey, listen, you can only get to see an AEW show once a week. They're not running live events, house shows, doing any of this other stuff. So it's like, I got to be at the arena, and I'm going to have a good time. Those people paid their money to have a good time.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go out to Anthony in Connecticut. Anthony, what did you want to say about AEW?
Well, to continue what Billy was saying, that's the thing. So they're running one show a week. Now, when do they run out of money? I know Tony Khan has deep pockets, but when does it come a point? They have 20 guys on the roster and like 7 girls that are terrible. And when does it come a point, Billy, you would know because you used to book shows. I know you used to run some of the books for ECW. When does it come a point where Tony Khan just doesn't want to spend money anymore?
Okay, just real quick. You said, I know you used to run some of the books for ECW. Where did you get that information from?
You used to book the venues.
Booking venues have to do with the booking of a show?
No, I'm sorry. So you know what it costs when you book my arena, it's going to cost 30% of it. You know that. So I misled you with that to say that. I apologize.
So why would Tony Khan be concerned right at this very moment?
Well, don't you think they need more talent?
Well, what's wrong? Hold on, Dave.
I think every week is the same matches, though. Every week is the same 15 guys wrestling.
They've been on TV now. They've been on TV now for 9 weeks. I think that they've been doing a pretty good job of mixing up their talent. Okay. Putting together matches that people are excited by. I mean, last night we saw, the Lucha guys getting Jericho's face. That was different. We had Scorpio Sky
a
couple.
I would take that Luchasaurus to the moon. That guy's incredible.
Okay. My point is this. You're talking about when does Tony Khan hit the panic button. If you've been in business now for 9 weeks and you are selling a decent amount of tickets to every single show, and if you have been winning in the ratings for the vast majority of the weeks, why are you concerned at this very moment?
I just see with the talent booking everything, I just see it to be like another WCW, or it's just going to – everybody's going to go into business for themselves, and the thing is going to flop.
Okay, who do you see going into business for themselves right now?
Nobody.
So then how can you make that assessment?
Because over time, everything changes.
Yeah, but you're living in the future right now. And this is the problem with a lot of wrestling fans. You're looking too far into the future. Why can't you just enjoy last night's show for what it was? And listen, maybe you didn't like last night's show. That's okay also. But why are you looking so far into the future? It almost feels like you are setting AEW up for failure.
It's possible, yeah.
Why, though? But, Anthony, let me ask you a question, Anthony. Why? Well, I mean, and I'm not trying. Wait, hold on 1 second. I'm not trying to call you out. I appreciate you calling in, and I'm glad that you're a listener to the show. But I'm really trying. Yeah, Anthony, hold on 1 second. I'm really trying to get into the mind of some of the fans, and I just want to know why. Because you called in and said, when is Tony Khan going to pull the plug? When is he going to quit? When is he going to get tired of losing money? And he talked about the talent roster, and there's only 20 guys, and all the women are terrible. And then you said that, like, Bully asked you the questions, and you said nobody's going into business for themselves. So Why are you setting up AEW to fail? I'm just curious to find out why.
I just look at things in a different, I mean, as a wrestling fan, but as a business person, I just look at things differently. Like, you know, every time the pyro goes on, every time the lights go on, they're just spending.
Hey, Anthony, when's the last time that a pro wrestling organization outside the WWE was on a channel like TNT?
I don't recall.
It's TNA.
It's TNA over a decade ago on Spike. Okay, so when's the last time that a wrestling organization outside of the WWE was able to go out on the road and get, like, you know, 10,000 people to a venue to see their product?
Right.
Anthony, answer the question. When was the last time we saw that happen?
Never.
No, it's over 20 years ago with WCW. So why? I don't understand. And Anthony, thanks for the phone call. I don't understand why people, they finally have a different product. They finally have a show that's successful, and actually for a time was beating the WWE show, filling up venues, you know, getting, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 to 12,000 people that we haven't seen in over 20 years. I don't understand why wrestling fans are setting that organization up to fail. I mean, as wrestling fans, and as somebody who has hosted this show for over 10 years, this is what we wanted. We wanted options. We wanted something different. Now you're getting it, and you're getting people that are setting it up to fail. I mean, Bully, we come on and I think we give pretty honest opinions about a show, about AEW. Sometimes we praise it to the moon, and sometimes we're critical. I don't understand why fans accuse us of kissing the AEW's ass when we like the show. I don't understand why we get phone calls like the one we just did that are killing it and setting it up to fail. Why, fans? Why are you doing this? It makes zero sense to me, Bully. Zero sense.
Not one thing about what he said backed up or corroborated any of his points or statements. And basically, when you ask them questions and you break it down, eventually they show their hand and they come out of face and they're like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
of course I'm right. Of course Dave's right. Because you come on the show and you want to be cool and just start burying AEW. Like, oh, yeah, this is horrible. Tony Khan, pull the plug. All seven girls suck. You just want to get your shit in on Busted Open, but then when you're confronted and you're asked questions, you start to back down real, real quick. It's just because they don't like AEW for some reason. Dave, I would have a lot more respect for a wrestling fan who came on the show and said, Bubba, I can't stand spot fest tag team matches, and I can't stand tag matches where a referee allows triple teaming for 54 seconds. Then I get it. That is a hard reason why you dislike a product.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
I try to be respectful to everybody that calls in because I want people to call in because, honestly, that call spurred conversation here on the show. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm glad that we had the call because now we can address the situation because now we're not just talking about a faceless, nameless person on social media. We can now connect it with a voice because we were able to hear a phone call from somebody. And you know what? I'd rather get a phone call and somebody say that than to get a tweet and somebody say that. It, to me, it's a little bit more like at least he's leaving it open for conversation.
But I would appreciate if people were to call in. If you're going to come forth with that negativity, have something to back it up on. Wrestling is subjective. If you don't like AEW, and it doesn't sound like that guy was an AEW fan.
No, he
which
probably
is totally fine.
But here's the thing. It's somebody that's got, you know, we talk about blind loyalty and blind faith. That's somebody who's a WWE guy and hates AEW for no really good call of a reason other than he hates AEW. Because, you know, he says they got six women, they all suck. Really? Awesome Kong sucks? Ali sucks? Britt Baker sucks? I don't think so. I don't. Now, if you came on and said, you know what, the women's division is not as strong as NXT or the WWE, hey, you know what? I agree with that. And as far as me, like, being an AEW homer and it's your favorite show, can I be honest with you, Bully? AEW is not my favorite show. If I'm going to be even be more honest, NXT is not my favorite show.
My
favorite show is the NWA. I'm being completely honest. The show that I look most forward to each and every week, where I'm in front of my TV, I make sure I'm in front of my TV at 6:05 every single Tuesday, is the NWA. Now, people might kill me on that. I'm just being completely honest with you. That's my favorite show. So to kill me on social media, to call in and saying I'm kissing AEW's ass, there's no reason for me to kiss AEW's ass. And I think I've made it clear, Bully, and I'm not talking about you, a Hall of Famer that's been there, done that, and has relationship with a lot of people because you've been wrestling for so long. I have as many relationships with AEW talent as I do with NXT talent. Not a hell of a lot. Couple people here and there. That's basically it. I'm giving you my honest opinion each and every show. That's all I can do.
Ditto. I wouldn't be able to look at myself in the mirror if I didn't give my honest assessment. People expect my honest assessment. That's what they've come to know about me over the years, that I'm brutally honest. My brutal honesty has gotten me in trouble in the wrestling business. I won't back off of it. I'm brutally honest about how I feel. You don't think that the guys listen to this show? You don't think that the girls listen to this show? You don't think I get texts from some of the guys and girls going, damn, Bubba, that was a little harsh? Yeah, it might have been a little harsh, but I frame it in a respectful way, and it's honest and fair. Listen, I like Matt and Nick Jackson. I really do. I like them for a variety of reasons, both personally and professionally. I'll tell you that I can't stand the fact that they won't put a modicum of freaking psychology on their tag matches. That's me being honest. Do I think their matches are exciting? Yes. Do I think they could have more psychology and tell better stories? Yes. How much more fair could I possibly be?
I'm tired of having to defend it. I'm tired of it.
I'm not defending crap. Just like Seth was saying at the end of the, you know, WWE backstage, he's like, is that all you got? Come at it, you know, bring it. Like, it came across a little wishy-washy to me. Let me tell you something. When I say it, you can best believe. If you have an opinion that you want to challenge me on in this show, pick up the freaking phone and call, and I will debate you. Come at me. Bring it. If you think that me and Dave are AEW homers, whatever that even means... What's a homer?
Like, it's like, you know, it's like it's like a play-by-play announcer for the Dallas Cowboys. He gives that hometown feel. Like, he's rooting. Even though, like, the Dallas Cowboys could be losing 45-10, they're still giving the rah-rah, how great they're playing bullshit narrative.
So, like Skip Bayless.
Yes, like Skip Bayless.
He's a cowboy homer.
Exactly.
I'm not a homer for any particular wrestling company. I'm a homer for pro wrestling.
That's right.
Period.
And you know what? Chris Jericho's not my favorite wrestler. It's question mark. Let's go out to Rufus in South Dakota. What's going on, Rufus? What did you want to say about Anthony's phone call?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. So, Bully, I'm gonna be brutally honest with you. You're one of my favorite wrestlers, but Dave, when you was out in the hospital, and the day after the first NXT show, the day after the first AEW show, Dreamer and Bully was on. Mm-hmm. Bully, and this is where I think y'all get a lot of the backlash from. You had a caller that day that was talking about all the botches that happened in that first AEW show. And once that caller got off the air, you said, we're not going to talk about that part of the show. So I think there were a lot of the backlash coming in from these homers from WWE because y'all didn't talk about everything in that first show. And then my thoughts is with AEW and the WWE wrestling world, I'm not going to push the panic button on AEW. No matter, I like the product. There's a couple of characters that I don't care to watch. And I think I spoke with y'all about it before. Kenny Omega, I don't find appealing. And the Young Bucks, I don't find appealing on that show. I wish it was more psychology behind the tag team matches. The match last night, you got 3-on-1. The referee looked right at him and then was holding back the other guy, why it was a 3-on-1. I don't like that. I can't
disagree with you on that.
Yeah, and Rufus, really quick, and I appreciate the phone call, and thanks so much because we're up against the break, but why all of a sudden people bringing up the panic button? Like, that's the second call in a row talking about AEW and the panic. What panic button? Like, to me, AEW has been successful. They've beaten NXT in a rating 7 out of 9 weeks. Even when they lost to NXT in the ratings, they still were very successful in the 18 to 49 key demographic, which is their demographic. They're doing arenas. I mean, like, why all of a sudden people are bringing up AEW in the panic button? Am I missing something here?
No, and me and Dreamer not talking about botches would be like talking about Michael Jordan's missed free throws or Wayne Gretzky's missed shots on goal or how many times Barry Bonds struck out. It could happen to the best. What's a strikeout in baseball? I guess it's a botch. Or an error in baseball? I guess it's a botch. In pro wrestling, it could happen to anybody at any time. And some of the best of the best of the best have had botches. So what am I going to do as a wrestler for 30 years? Call out somebody else for making a mistake in the ring like I've never made a mistake before? I put 8 staples in the back of the Undertaker's head. That's a botch. So what am I going to do? Call out somebody else for a botch? That would be ridiculous. People sitting there listening to the show on social media looking for botches and mistakes. If you think it was so much of a botch and a mistake, go train to be a pro wrestler and go do it better than the person that botched. If not, shut the fuck up.
And what was the pay-per-view that was on when I was in the hospital? I'm trying to remember because it was – what was that paper? It wasn't Full Gear. I can't remember. It wasn't Double or Nothing because I know I was there at Double or Nothing. I can't remember what pay-per-view it was. Do you remember?
Was that All Out?
All Out. It was All Out. Now, was All Out – I enjoyed All Out. I thought All Out was a very good show. Was All Out a very good show?
Yes, absolutely.
That would be like the Patriots winning a Super Bowl, and you're going to come on the air the next day and talk about the interception Tom Brady had in the second quarter of the game. Why would you bring that up? It was a win. It was a successful game. I thought that show was a successful show. So why would you and Tommy go on the air the next day and talk about some of the mistakes? Was AEW a good show last night, Bully?
Yes.
So why would I come on the air and talk about, you know, the mistake that Christopher Daniels made during that match? Why would I do that? Why?
Because people want us to feed into the negative and the hatred, and we won't do that.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Gotcha. How are you, King Mo?
I'm great. What's up? What's up, Willie? What's up, man?
Good to see you, Mo. How you been? Good? Feeling good?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm glad to be back in wrestling.
Yeah, because
you look great as always.
Oh, thanks, man. So do you, man. It's the man. Hey, he's the man, man, for real. When I first met him, like, unbelievable.
All right, wait. All right. So now you got it again, we're here with King Mo, MLW, Thursday night, going to be at Queens in New York for the Opera Cup. But before we get into all of that, now you're hitting right in stride. So, Bully from your time with TNA. So you say right off the bat, he was a good dude.
Run the realist, man. That's one thing I could say is in MMA, you meet some people that are real, but in wrestling, you meet some of the realists because they're giving you like real things to watch out for. They're giving you advice. They're telling you, you know, I don't know. I just feel like I got some great advice that they'll stick with me, you know what I'm saying, for the rest of my life.
Wow. So, like, the foundation for your future in pro wrestling?
Just the foundation of my future in life.
Wow, like,
really? There's a lot of things that correlate, well, you know what I'm saying, with wrestling and life. You know, just some things you, like, it's hard to explain unless you're in it, you know what I'm saying? I can speak on it, but it's hard for me to explain it. You know, I just see the correlation when every day going from MMA as a coach, going to normal life, and then even when I step in the ring, there are lessons that you've learned that apply to all three.
So Bully, really quick with King Mo and his time with TNA, at the same time that you were a part of TNA, a lot of people may not remember TNA took a lot of chances and did something that were very unique. Especially bringing King Mo in, you know, now we're kind of used to the MMA world and the pro wrestling world connecting. But at the time with King Mo, that wasn't the case. So you saw King Mo early. What was some of the advice you gave him?
Well, first of all, I liked him because of the way he came into the company. Listen, he's an MMA guy. He's a shoot fighter. He's a legit badass. He knows he can step in a wrestling ring and stretch just about anybody in the locker room. And we know that, too. But he wasn't in his world anymore. Now he's in our world. And if you're going to come into our world, you better come into our world with your hat in hand and show it respect. And that's exactly what he did. And with me, that's 50% of the battle. King Mo comes up, introduces himself, smiling. Right off the bat, you got a good energy from the guy. You know he's here to do business. You know he's not just here to get himself over. He's here to add to the story, add to the product. And I enjoyed having Mo involved in TNA. I enjoyed having him involved in the whole Dixie storyline, and I think that's why we hit it off, because I knew he was genuine, and he knew that I was trying to give him some genuine advice.
Trying to, he did.
Okay,
he did, man. I it's hard to explain, man. I don't know how to explain it. I'm just keeping it aside because I really can't explain it.
Well, you know, and listen, I don't want you to get too personal because it sounds like it is. When you're talking about life lessons, you're talking very, very personal. But going off of what Bully said, so you are extremely successful in another world. You're being brought in because you have name value to TNA. So a lot of people could come walking in saying, hey, I'm a name. I could beat the ass of everybody almost in this locker room. You know, I don't need to give it respect, but from what Bully said, completely the opposite for you, because you knew this was a different world and this was a world that you didn't know a lot about. So what was it like for you that first day? Did you have that attitude? Like, what was your attitude? What, you know, what were your expectations walking into TNA at that time?
Well, let me rewind this. Let me talk about OVW. When I went to OVW, that was an eye opener, because when I first went there, I didn't know the wrestling etiquette. There's a lot of stuff I didn't know. I went in there. I was a shooter. Didn't know what that meant. And I said, what's up, y'all? And, you know, and I was giving people stiff handshakes. Oh, man, I just got people just didn't like me right off the rip, you know. And then I started training. And when I started training, that's when I realized, I was like, man, this is way harder than MMA. This is on the same level as amateur wrestling. Like, MMA is easy. People bash me, but I'm like, look, MMA is easy because we all can fight. But not all of us can do it good. And we all fight in different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you step foot in the wrestling school and you have to go through, learn how to take bumps, learn how to hit the ropes, learn how to take the ring apart and put together and all that stuff, man, paying your dues, that's an eye-opener, a big eye-opener. I felt like a scrub. That was the first time I felt like a scrub, and I felt like a scrub for real at that time.
So when you went to OVW, they had you taken down the ring, putting the ring up. So like you said, you used the word scrub. Like, mm-hmm. Was there a part of you was like, hey, wait a second here. Why did they have me doing it? Or were you completely fine working your way up, you know, that way?
I loved working my way up.
Okay.
Just that the fact that I thought it'd be easier. Taking those bumps, man, after the first, like, I was with the Coach Dismore, and he had me taking bumps, and I'm like, man, how many more do I have to take? And he's like, we're gonna be here for 2 hours. After an hour, I was like, man, maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I should quit this. This is hard. My body hurts. My heels hurt. My elbows hurt. Everything hurts. And then I had to keep on doing that for like months. It's an eye opener. There are fighters that I speak with, and they're like, Mo, how hard is wrestling? I'm like, man. It's hard. If you think it's going to be easy, don't do it. And people are like, oh, man, but you get hit and kicked. I'm like, yeah, you get hit and kicked, but, you know, in MMA, yeah, but we block that. I block it.
And Mo, in the world of MMA, like if you're training for a fight, all you need to go out there to do is concentrate on winning. You don't give a damn if the fight is entertaining or not. All you want to do is win and make that money, right?
100%.
in the world of pro wrestling, you got to fight and you got to make it entertaining.
And tell a story. That's the biggest thing. Wrestling psychology. And the thing is, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, when I went in there, because I was an NWA fan growing up, mm-hmm. Mid-South wrestling fan. And I didn't, you know, I just thought that, you know, you go in there and just wrestling, you know. But when I went to OVW, man, it blew my head, like, just wide open. It made me realize I had to think everything over again. And I was learning things like Al Snow told me, he's like, Mo, without an opponent, you can't make money. It takes two to make money. And I was like, you know what? That's true. I'm like, that's real. Because you just can't, you can make money by yourself, but it takes another person to make it even more legit. Mm-hmm. And just, that's pro wrestling for you, man. You can't, there are a few people out there, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Keep going, Mo.
There are a few people out there that have the skills to make a match look good by themselves, but you need more than just one person. It's a team effort in a sense.
And Dave, for guys like Mo, for guys like Kurt Angle, for guys like Ken Shamrock, for a woman like Ronda Rousey, mm-hmm. legitimate fighters who their entire lives have been taught to defend, not give up a leg, not go to your back, never give up positioning, they step into a wrestling ring and now they have to give themselves. It's a complete retraining of a professional fighter's mindset. Because Mo knows that if somebody goes behind him, he's going to sit out and reverse it immediately. Now Mo has to tell himself, don't sit out. Don't reverse it immediately. Mo, yes or no? And that's why it's difficult to do.
Everything. Even when I had to throw my first punch, people are like, they're like, and I was like, you know what? I went to wrestling school. I got this, man. Like, you know, I was like, I got this. I'm not gonna lay one in on you. I got this. You'll be taken care of.
It sounds like when you're an MMA fighter, when you're getting ready for a fight or you're approaching that octagon, you have one. You're focused on just one thing, which is to win.
Win. Yep.
When you're approaching a wrestling ring, your mind's probably in a million different places, right?
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm way more nervous going into the wrestling ring than I am going to the cage. Far more. Let me tell you something. Right. The biggest thing, like, I'm not trying to bash nobody, but I remember I'm a WCW fan, mm-hmm. big time. There's a wrestler by the name of Glacier.
Yep.
Man, like, I was hyped up for when they showed the commercials. I was hyped up for Glacier. I was like, ooh, Glacier. He's like Sub-Zero. I can't wait to see this guy, man. Martial artist. Ooh, it's going to be some crazy stuff. Then when he came and made his appearance, when no one cheering, everyone's just sitting there like this.
Yep.
You know, and I was like, man. That's a failure. I was like, I knew it was bad. I was a wrestling fan back then. And that's my biggest fear as a wrestler, to get no reaction where the crowd's just sitting there, crickets, dead silence. That's the biggest fear. Boo me, boo me. I know I'm getting a reaction. Cheer for me. That's good. Silence. That's all wrong.
Yeah, no reaction is the worst. Mo, are you happy to be back involved with pro wrestling? Are you happy what you're going to be doing with MLW?
Oh, man, I'm so happy. I'm so excited, man. I just can't wait to see where this leads to.
What are you doing tonight? Because you don't have, like, you know, everybody's got their matches ready. Opera Cup, it's a big show tonight. You're making an appearance, like, you know, what's going to happen? You know, it's just between you and I. It's not like anybody's listening. Just between you and I. Are you interfering in a match? Like, what's going to happen tonight?
I don't know. I just think that, you know, if you want to find out, you should show up to the venue and tune in. Buy your ticket. You know what I'm saying? Tune in.
Melrose Ballroom tonight in Queens, 7 p.m. bell time. One thing we talk a lot about here, Bully and I, is kind of like the connection between the world of MMA and pro wrestling. And it seems like, you know, pro wrestling fans, for the most part, it's almost become like second knowledge to them that MMA is, there's that crossover. But mm-hmm. it feels like, because this is a combat sports channel, we have MMA, we have boxing, that MMA fans kind of look down on pro wrestling. Is that the case since you're from both worlds?
When I first started in amateur wrestling, they did. But then I'm like, as I got older, I was like, you know what? These MMA fans are idiots. I'm like, they're idiots. Without pro wrestling, there is no MMA. Plain and simple. What MMA would that be? But like this, like I started thinking to myself, I was like, you know what? Pro wrestling and MMA are so much alike. I could, for instance, if we're talking about the UFC, I could name you the Bret Hart of the UFC, which is GSP. I can name you the Brooklyn Brawler of the UFC, which is Phil Baroni. You can name.
Is Phil Baroni like the jobber in the UFC?
I'm gonna call him a jobber, but I mean the accent, the demeanor.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he's like the character.
Yeah, the character.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was like the job. I thought he was the guy that they throw out in the first match to get his ass kicked.
Nah. Okay. Not just demeanor. Yeah. But there are guys like that out there. But I mean, just like if you look at the characters, you know, the gimmicks. Now, like back then when MMA first started, people were over off of just action.
Mm-hmm.
Then fast forward to Tito Ortiz, who was the first person to actually bring in the bigger of life persona and personality to MMA. That's what saved the UFC. And now you're starting to see more and more people doing that.
Who's the Irish guy that talks a lot?
Conor McGregor.
Like that's pro wrestling right there.
It's pro wrestling. But let's rewind this even back. Ali. The greatest fighter of all time took from pro wrestling.
And he even admitted it. He said he was a wrestling fan. He got a lot of what he got from like Gorgeous George.
Yeah, and the thing is like, if Ali was a pro wrestling fan, if Ali took from pro wrestling, I think we all should take from pro wrestling. And we should all be pro wrestling mm-hmm. fans. That's how I see it.
I'm more of a fan of Bellator than I am of UFC because it seems like Bellator has embraced that pro wrestling feel. And to me, even I'm not a huge MMA fan, Mo, but I'll watch Bellator before I'll watch UFC because I feel that pro wrestling aspect is more entertaining. Do you agree or disagree?
100% I agree. Man, come on, listen, I grew up, I have some of the craziest stories of like, wrestling helped make me who I am today. Like, look, my name's Muhammad, but I'm an atheist because of pro wrestling. I remember Clash of Champions. I'll never forget when Sting wrestled Ric Flair, right?
Yep.
I learned, like, you know, my come from a Muslim family, and they tried to convert my mama because my daddy left. So some Christians got a hold of my mama, and they brought her to church, and they're like, hey, we're going to teach you how to pray. If you want something bad enough, you know, you pray for it, it'll happen. So I was like, I know what I want. I want Sting to beat Ric Flair. Boy, I prayed my ass off. Ooh, you understand? I prayed like, oh. Man, I prayed four or five times a day. I was praying hard. And I thought that, I was like, okay, God loves me because Sting's winning. Bro, 10. I remember the countdown. I'll never forget. I remember the countdown. And it was a draw. And I was like, maybe God... I was like, what? I was like, so then fast forward, I remember the demo. I was a big Powers of Pain fan. Fan. Yeah. And I believe they wrestled the Legion of Doom and they got smashed. But I remember leading up to that, I was praying. I was like, God, please, if you love me, let the Warlord and Barbarian beat the Legion of Doom. Please, please. And what happened? Squash match. They got smashed out there, man.
God wasn't listening for the second time.
Nah, not for the second time. So off of that alone, like wrestling, like I'm telling you, I there's some things. Like I remember when I was young, we were poor, and the pay-per-views would happen. Mm-hmm. I'd put on channel 99 and just sit there and listen to the pay-per-views, see what's going on.
Wow.
Like I never forget when Sting had the RoboCop angle.
Yeah.
And I remember the Black Scorpion with I remember listening to pay-per-views at that time back then. I'm a huge wrestling fan. It's part of me.
And you grew up watching Mid-South wrestling?
WCW Mid-South. Yeah, I wasn't much of a WWF fan. I was more of a Mid-South, like NWA fan. Because especially, shout out to NWA Power. Shout out to Nick Aldis, man. That boy's cutting promos like no other.
Did you watch amazing. This? Did you watch Tuesday Night's show?
No, I have to go on YouTube and catch it.
Nick, I mean, he's fantastic. And this setup with this match with James Storm that's up on a paper. Nick Aldis is a special talent.
Man, his promos, man, when he dropped Dory Funk's name, and I think 2 weeks ago, and talking about the belt, the lineage of the belt, man, that had my head spinning, man. I felt it.
Mo, who's in MLW right now that you see that you could get in the ring and make some money with and tell a good story with?
Ooh. definitely Tom. Hey, Davey Boy. Davey Boy Smith Jr., that boy's for real, man. Look, I watched him and Tom work, and I was like, what? I was like, man, how do you know all this? I was like, who taught you? This guy's amazing. Like, look, I like what I'm seeing, man. I like what I'm seeing. I love it.
And you just mentioned, Filthy Tom Lawlor, who obviously has a deep MMA background. We had him in studio yesterday. I mean, like, he is a special talent. He's really starting to get, really good with his character and personality. This last show with MLW, with the attack on Ross Von Erich, he's really coming to his own big time.
Yeah, definitely, man. I knew of Tom back in MMA, and we knew some of the same people from amateur wrestling. But I knew he's gonna go to pro wrestling when I saw him doing the weigh-ins, and then he was doing stuff with, like, back then with Red Dragon. Mind you, I'm a wrestling fan, so like I keep in touch with a lot of the storylines of everything. If I'm not watching, I'm tuning in. But I've been following Tom, man. Tom, he's legit, man. I think pro wrestling is perfect for him.
Mo, are you at the point of your career where pro wrestling is gonna be the thing for you, or are you looking to get back into the octagon?
I'm done with MMA. I'm just coaching, but wrestling is the thing for me right now. I'm in Florida, and I'm trying to debate on which wrestling school, because right now I'm working with a guy named Pablo, going to his school, but Gangrel's down there too, I learned a lot from Gangrel just talking with him, he's a wealth of knowledge as well.
You ever hear that tag team, the Dudley Boys?
Yeah,
they got a school in Florida too.
but y'all in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm by Boca.
Pay your dues, kid. Get in the car and drive.
how far of a drive is it from Boca to Orlando?
Like, about 3 hours.
And the traffic, that Disney traffic, it's probably like 6 hours.
Hey, but you know what? I met his sons. Devon's sons down there a few Blueprint wrestling matches, because I do work for Blueprint as well. Those boys are good, man. I don't know why they haven't been signed by somebody, but them boys are damn good. Impressive.
Eventually.
Now, you're going to be in action tonight, right? Are you going to wrestle tonight? What's going on tonight?
I don't know, man. I guess you have to.
I mean, you got
to
tell me.
I don't know, man. Come on down. Get you a ticket.
He's
man.
Not telling me.
Oh, wait, whoa, whoa. There it is. Wait. Did you hear what he just said?
He said, get a ticket.
He said, get a ticket. But I think he means buy a ticket. You see, Mo, what Dave is trying to do right now is he's trying to get you to invite him to the show.
That's not true, King Mo. I would never do that.
He's as cheap, as tough as you are. That's how cheap he is.
Hey, how about this? I'll buy you a ticket. How about this? I'll buy you a ticket.
You don't have to buy me a ticket.
Come on, you gotta come on down.
I'd love to come down, but I I can buy my own ticket. Don't listen to Bully.
It's hard
now,
not to.
How much are the tickets?
I don't know, but we'll get the discount. We'll get the MLW discount. Yeah.
Now, so you like MLW though, like it's a good fit for you, because there's so many options now. There's so many organizations. You feel that MLW is the perfect one for you?
I feel like MLW is perfect for me, but I wish. Here's my dream. What would happen? I'd like to see AEW, MLW, NWA, Ring of Honor, Impact, whoever's out there, bring the territories back. Let's all work together. Have like 3 or 4 big pay-per-views, one every quarter, and rotate, rotate the talent around the territories. I think that way more eyes would get out, more people would get their face out there, have better matches, different exchange of styles. I know money talks, but, that's just a dream of mine,
I mean, that's not a bad idea. We've talked about that too, Bully. Like, you've always said that on the road, like in the car, traveling from one place to the other is where you really learn about the business. And that's probably like a lost art now when it comes to wrestling in the environment right now.
And I know what Mo is talking about the traditional territories. And Mo, I think right now with the landscape of pro wrestling, it's as close to the territories as we're ever going to get again. I mean, the business is very healthy, especially on the independent scene moving up. Like you said, MLW, Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW, New Japan, WWE. I love the idea of a super show by bringing all of these companies together for one gigantic show, but the amount of politics that's involved, who wins, who loses, who gets this cut, that cut. It's not that it can't be done, because it's been done before, right, Dave? There's been a couple of co-promotes or
We saw back in the day. We saw, like, I remember, you know, living in New Jersey, the AWA and the NWA would have combined shows at the Meadowlands, and that was like a special treat. That's something that you didn't really see. So that would be awesome if, like, and we saw it at Madison Square Garden with New Japan and Ring of Honor. Yep. So why not
have more?
Well, yeah.
Yep, I agree.
And then you know what? MVP, the wrestler MVP, he made it like, you know, a mission statement to wrestle in as many different places as he could. So he was in Japan. He was with MLW. Yeah. He was with Impact. He was with the WWE. Maybe that's a course you might want to take.
More styles. You know, you get a chance to exchange more ideas. Who knows what can happen? You know, I feel like when you meet different people, you get fresher ideas. You could come up with a new gimmick, maybe, or who knows, do something. You know, make some money off of something. Who knows? You have to make it happen.
Mo, did you get as far in the world of MMA as you wanted to?
No, injuries prevented me from getting as far as I wanted to. But I had a great time fighting. You know, I play like that. I had a great time competing. Had a great time fighting. But now, you know, fighting, it got to the point where I enjoyed doing it, but I found myself, like, just, you know, even put like this, at American Top Team, when I first got there, the first thing we did was, I was like, hey, we're going to have a King Mo Mania. So we had a wrestling, every year we have a wrestling show. We bring in people. I'm like, all right, I taught guys into even going to wrestling school. You know, that's how we have an AT&T faction now. You know, just me and a few guys talking about pro wrestling. And now, you know, Stevie Richards came. We had a Boogeyman come. We've had Stephen Bonner stop by. Moose. Wow. We're just getting bigger and bigger. Wes Briscoe. Shout out to Wes Briscoe. He's showed up a few times. We're trying to get bigger and bigger. And I think MLW is going to be working with us next year to make King Mo Mania bigger.
When do you do King Mo Mania?
Every October around Halloween.
You know, I'm always available around Halloween time. I could what are you doing throwing hands? I could be a ring announcer, I could referee. I just refereed at House of Hardcore. I did a hell of a job.
See, first he's trying to get a free ticket. Now he's looking for a payday. You see how this shyster works?
Hey, he's a good finesser, though. You're pretty smooth. You're pretty smooth right there.
So, all right, now that you say that, so what are you going to be doing tonight at MLW? What do you got going?
Not sure yet. Buy a ticket and come on down.
Listen, when it comes to your and Bully was asking about your MMA career, I mean, you went out a winner. The last seven fights that you had, you won. What made you decide, like, especially when you're out on top, what was the final decision why you said, you know what, the world of wrestling is for me and it's time to put the MMA world behind me?
I don't know. I'm going to be real with you. Wrestling never left my mind. I had a WWE tryout back in 2004. And I went with my boy Brandon Eggman to OVW, and they loved me. They offered me a contract, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this Kurt Angle route. My goal is to be a national champion, world champion wrestler, and then come back. But while I was there, a guy by the name of Shad Gaspard,
yeah,
from Crime Time, he's like, man, Mo, you should chase your dreams. If I were you, you know, wrestle, then fight, then come back. And I was like, you know what? He's like, because then you'll be the first one to really do that. But back then, wasn't no MMA fighters really switching over besides Shamrock, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna be the Kurt Angle Shamrock that comes back to pro wrestling, and it didn't really work that way. But hopefully, we can make it work now.
I like it. What did you think of, like, Ronda Rousey? You know, coming from the world of MMA, coming to the WWE. What did you think of the job she did?
I think she did great. You know, it's not easy. At first, I was worried because I was like, man, this is not easy. Like, Cain Velasquez, like, guys, like, it's hard to, you just can't nerf the system and just, like, cut corners. Because if you cut corners, it's going to show in that match. Like, look at Tyson Fury. You know, you hit the ropes wrong, they're going to see it.
Yeah.
You tie up wrong, they're going to see you look stiff. Or you take a bump wrong, they're going to see it. And the fans, you can't, You can't finesse the fans in pro wrestling. They smell in MMA. You can finesse the fans. You can throw them some BS out there and they'll buy it. And pro wrestling is way harder to do it because if you start to finesse too much, you get the boo birds. Then you get no birds. Then you get no money. They'll stop tuning in. Yeah. Yeah, you starting to see it. As a matter of fact, you started seeing it with the WWE for a while. It got to the point where, you know, I'm a wrestling fan. I got to the point where I find myself where I record Raw and I fast forward it to the last 8 minutes just to see what happened. I like action, man. Promos are cool, but I like wrestling. I like action, man. All the talking is cool, but too much of it.
Let me ask you this, because here's a big discussion every Thursday. Do you follow NXT and AEW?
I follow AEW. Boy, look. Bro, don't get me started with AEW. I love AEW.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go,
why?
Go.
Tell us why.
Just the action. Even when they cut promos, they're funny. You know what I'm saying? It means something. Like that John Moxley promo, I'm unsanctionable. Boy, I was ready to fight when I watched that. I was like, man, unsanctionable. I said, why could I come up with that? I was like, man, look, everything. Kenny Omega, I met the Bucks years ago. I've been a fan since then at the House of Hardcore show. And I don't know, just everything about AEW, man. Private Party, the Dark Order. Man, I'm going to stop right now. Let me stop right now.
You know what, Mo? You better stop now, because everybody's going to go on social media and call you an AEW homer for liking them so much.
What do you feel about social media? Like, do you buy into the social media? Because that's obviously a big part of what's going on.
You know what? I'm on it, but I'm not on it crazy. You know, I feel like sometimes, like, you have to find the right balance. Some people are on it so much that they miss real life. You know, social media is okay. It's whatever.
You know what I love about King Mo, Bully, is that you could just, the passion. Like, I'm already, talk about social media. I'm on social media right now. People are loving this interview. So you're making fans left and right from being on the air today. So, this is just a good opportunity to talk to you, because you can just hear the passion and love that you have for pro wrestling.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. It's a lot of us out there. Like, Daniel Cormier. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's me and Daniel. We used to have wrestling. We didn't know what we were doing. We just go out there and wrestle. Like, we'd wrestle in practice, and all of a sudden, I hit him with the clothesline, low blow, I body slam him. You know, see him with the Stone Cold Stunner and the Rock Bottom. You know what I'm saying? Not him with a Scorpion Deathlock. Like, we just, I'm telling you, man, we just have fun. Like, wrestling, put like this, I'll never forget in high school. In high school, at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, me and my boys would be like, hey, man, we got to get to the house. Russo, we going to your house. Goldberg's going to wrestle. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got crunk off of Goldberg. Man, Raw, Goldberg, man, you understand, man.
I was
watching it too. I didn't get invited to Russo's house, bro, watching.
We was getting I'm talking about, like, when Goldberg would hit, man. It was like a black mosh pit in the house when Goldberg would do something. Did you see that? You see that spear? Oh, look at Jack Hammer talking about. When I met Goldberg, I almost wanted to faint, because I was like, man, you understand. Like, we cheered loud. Like, when I was in high school, boy, we was cheering, screaming for you when you wrestled matches. Like, I remember his matches like no other, man. Goldberg was the man. He still is. You know, look, WCW, in my eyes, will never die. That's my favorite organization, and it's in my heart for life.
That's awesome. So you're a big wrestling fan, so you must love this show, Busted Open. It must be a pleasure being interviewed by me, because you must be a big fan of mine. Well, see how we put dreams together, Bully?
Well, I definitely am even more now.
King Mo again tonight at the Melrose Ballroom. According to Court Bauer, there's only a few tickets left, but you definitely want to be a part of it. I mean, King Mo is going to make an appearance. He won't tell us what it's going to be, but he will definitely be there. He'll be in action. And again, Queens, New York, 7 p.m. bell time, the Opera Cup. I mean, some amazing matches. Davey Boy Smith Jr. going up against Low Key. Brian Pillman Jr. going up against TJP. Mance Warner going up against Jimmy Havoc. think. That's going to be awesome. Tom Lawler is going to go up against a member of the Von Erichs after what he did to Ross Von Erich. That piece of garbage, filthy Tom Lawler, what he did to the Von Erich family. He should be ashamed of himself. And then again, come October, King Mo Mania, I'll be the special guest referee and the ring announcer, so make sure you...
Actually, he's gonna be cleaning the mats.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be putting
Boo
the arena
King
together.
Mo.
Yeah, yeah.
Boo King Mo.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.